ladies and gentlemen, on Sunday.
Whoa, dude.
What?
It's Saturday. We talked about this.
On Saturday, June 1st, Lincoln, Nebraska, Rainbow Comics, Cards, and Collectibles. Come join us at the Friendly Neighborhood Mini-Con.
Featuring local artists and comic creators, Omug Comics, Art of Lee Bachma, and Tank Zombie Studios.
All your favorite podcasts, Covert Nerd, Make Eternia Great Again, Daydream Instruction Manual.
June 1st at Rainbow Comics, Cards, and Collectibles. Doors open at 11 o'clock a.m.
With contests and door prizes. Oh yeah, did we mention free admission?
Rainbow Comics, Cards, and Collectibles, located at 1501 Pine Lake Road, Suite Number 17, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68512.
Rio Blast here, Eternia's only cowboy. This here free mini-con is brought to you in participation with your friends, the Last Starfighters Entertainment Group.
Hello and welcome to the Covert Nerd Podcast. Today we'll look at the state of Dark Horse Comics, then we'll do some Tolkien talk, and finally we'll review a few comics. So let's dive right in and nerd it up. Before we get started, I just want to say it's good to be back. And if you're the first-time listener, you may not know this, but if you're a regular listener, you'll know that the format has been different from the beginning. Over the last several months, we've done interviews, nerd death matches, and things like that. But today, it's nice to be back to the way I started the podcast over 2 years ago. Just you and me talking nerdy topics. It's like meeting up with an old friend you haven't seen in a long time. You simply pick up where you left off. So thank you for listening. And with that, let's dive right in. When you were in school, did you like history? Statistics show most people don't. However, in our entertainment, we want to know the history of our characters. We want prequel movies. We want origin stories in our comics and books. We want to know why our hero does what they do. We don't want to know the dates necessarily. We want to know the why behind it. And this leads to the first topic. The announcement from Amazon about a year ago that they were taking over the Middle-earth properties from the Tolkien estate to do probably a TV series, it sounds like they're going to be doing. Well, we just found out about a month or so ago that TV series is going to take place in the Second Age. And that has me excited. Now, if you're unsure about when this time is, I will try to explain the best I can. If you watched the Lord of the Rings movies, in the beginning of the first movie, Fellowship of the Ring, they do a brief summary of the War of the Last Alliance with men and elves when the ring was cut from Sauron's hand by Isildur. That was at the end of the Second Age, in the beginning of the Third Age, which the movie takes place in. So the TV series will take place during that time frame before the cutting of the ring from Sauron's hand. And there are some great stories they can pull from that Tolkien wrote. Stories of kings and queens vying for power, different factions separating from each other. In fact, I have a feeling they will tell the complete story of the War of the Last Alliance, which they told, like I said, a very condensed version of it in Fellowship of the Ring. This will give you the backstory on many of the characters like Isildur, Elrond, and Sauron. And if you didn't know, I'm a pretty big fan of Tolkien. I wouldn't say I'm a super fan. I don't know Elvish, but I would say I'm above average in the fact that I've read The Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, and the more obscure book like The Silmarillion and a few others. This is what I find interesting about the obscure background information in Middle-earth and in other fiction. Knowing the why behind the characters, what made them into what they are that we see now, the places that they interact with, it's all interesting to me, and hopefully it's interesting to you too. J.R.R. Tolkien is the author of the popular Lord of the Rings books, telling the tales of hobbits and halflings traveling across mythical world of Middle-earth full of other mythical races like dwarves, elves, and orcs. What most people don't know are his more obscure books, like I mentioned earlier, The Silmarillion, which is what they would call the War of the Jewels. There was a war between the elves and Sauron's master called Melkor, but I won't get into a lot of details about that. But he also has a 12-volume set called The History of Middle-earth. It's a series of books published between 1983 and 1996, assembled by his son, Christopher. There are also other books in addition to that 12-volume set. All of this is extra literature assembled by his son, like I said, Christopher. And what his son did was scour through all of his father's notes and piece together partial stories that he may have started or scribbled a paragraph here or there, but didn't complete. Now just imagine for a second the work that it took to do this. For example, he might have been looking through an old spiral notebook and found a paragraph referring to Gandalf before the Hobbit stories, then a few weeks later find another paragraph that goes with that same story in another notebook. And he had to try to assemble all of this and make it somewhat coherent and flow smoothly. This painstaking effort has gone on since his father's death in 1973. The latest book to be released is called Beren and Lúthien. Christopher claims that this is going to be the last. I believe this will be his last, since Christopher is in his early 80s, and couple that with the fact that the TV rights are being sold to Amazon, seems to signal a change in how Tolkien's works will be handled going forward. I will admit, The Silmarillion is a harder read than The Hobbit or Lord of the Rings, along with the other books that Christopher has put together. However, it does have some great stories. It's basically a bunch of short stories with a small common thread through it. Based on what I said previously, what Christopher did with his father's writings after his death, this makes sense. In the case of The Silmarillion, it is a little different. It was roughly put together by Tolkien himself, but he submitted it to his publisher and was rejected. Tolkien just laid it aside for many decades, and only did he work on it again shortly before he died. And that's one of the reasons it is more difficult. It is not as edited and smoothed out as he had planned. But all in all, I still think it's a good story if you can get through it. The Silmarillion does have many names and places, and it can be confusing and overwhelming. However, it has many nuggets of back history and lore, like the origin of the race of elves, men, and dwarves. Also, it talks about the early age of the Ents that are in the Lord of the Rings movies. Also, the first dragon, the first original Dark Lord, the master of Sauron, Melkor, that I mentioned earlier. Also, the origin story of Aragorn's family, the Numenoreans. Just like many other stories, there is a rich history behind the main story that we see about in the books and movies. These stories take place thousands of years before we're in the house of Bilbo at Bag End. It makes the stories we know more about seem richer and fuller. Another storyline that does something similar is Robert Howard's Conan. I've read all of the books. Some of them were started by Howard but finished by other authors like L. Sprague de Camp, who, like Christopher, used the basic notes on certain stories to finish the story in the spirit of those notes and those outlines that he had. Unlike Christopher, though, de Camp did take liberties and added to the story to make them complete. Anyway, Howard in many of his books alluded to the fact that even in the time of Conan, the earth was very old. For example, in the story of the Tower of the Elephant, the alien in the story mentions to him that a few of his kind came to earth long before the sinking of Atlantis. In another story, Conan encounters another space-traveling being who came to earth while men were still apes. Then there's the fact that many times Conan refers to Atlantis and the fact that the Sumerians themselves are direct descendants from Atlantis, again adding a full long history to build his world building upon. Having this foundation gives the author the ability to pull more stories and shore up their existing characters with more depth. With Conan and Middle-earth, I find both of these aspects exciting. For you, maybe not so much, and that's okay. Everyone has different tastes. I've been toying with doing a short segment called maybe Middle-earth Minute, or like I said, Tolkien Talk, I'm not sure. As you can tell by the name, it would be short. I would explore the more obscure stories from Tolkien that connect to the main story. I believe by condensing the story and keeping it short and really focused, most people would be able to understand it and not get lost. The idea is to provide you with a good story and give you information you may have never thought before. Just an idea I've been throwing around. Could possibly do the same thing with the Conan universe as well. There's a lot to pull from there too. Let me know your thoughts about this idea or the history of some of your favorite fiction. Maybe it's Robert Jordan or Game of Thrones. I don't know. Go to covertnerd.net and you can get in touch with me however you want. I'll put a link in the show notes with all the different ways you can connect with me. Over the years, Dark Horse Comics has lost several IPs. Conan, Buffy, Usagi, and Star Wars, to name a few. Many talk about how this will affect Dark Horse financially. Dark Horse as a company has had a few company-owned titles, but for the most part, they have relied on licensing other properties. Dark Horse was started in 1986, and in their early years, their big properties were the Aliens franchise and the Predator franchise. And then later, the Aliens vs. Predator limited series was a huge sale for them. I remember because that was one of the early comics I bought, and the art and story were fantastic. At the time, they also had a Terminator series too, which wasn't too bad in my opinion. Again, all of those not their titles. They did try to create their own superhero universe with their Comics Greatest World series in 1993. It was received with mediocre acceptance by comic readers, and it was discontinued in 1996, except for a few flagship titles, X and Ghost. Those two titles did better than the rest, so they decided to keep them around. I read the entire run, and it wasn't too bad in my opinion. In the early 1990s, though, Dark Horse bought the Star Wars property and released the Star Wars Dark Empire 6-issue series in 1991, which again was huge, bigger than the Aliens vs. Predator series. It took place almost 5 years after Return of the Jedi. And like the Aliens and Predator series, they didn't own it, but because their IP series sold so well, I don't think it really mattered. They still took in a lot of cash. They also got Robert E. Howard's Conan property as well, and in my opinion, did a great job with the Conan series. Since recently Fox sold to Disney, the possible loss of the Aliens franchise, Predator IP, some say could mean the end of Dark Horse, which would be a great loss. But enter Jeff Lemire and his Black Hammer universe. All by himself, he has created a superhero universe that Dark Horse has always wanted. The popularity of this title has grown so much, there is talk of a DC Dark Horse crossover with the Black Hammer universe. Also, Mike Mignola's Hellboy and Joe Golem series have sold well too. Then the popular comic turned TV series, The Umbrella Academy. I think with these and the others I just mentioned, Dark Horse is going to be okay in the short term. These are creator-owned titles, but they are still generating revenue and exposure for Dark Horse. And in the end, even though they have lost several IPs, maybe they can move some of their revenue and resources from these properties to in-house projects like the ones I just mentioned and others that have yet to be revealed. And I'll include a list of the Dark Horse comics in the show notes so you can see the history of the titles that they have produced over the years. So let me know what you think about Dark Horse. Do you like them? Don't care? Anyway, go to covertnerd.net. Let me know what you think about the Dark Horse comics, especially the Black Hammer series. I have reviewed some of the titles in the past, so you can go check those out at covertnerd.net. Let's do some comic reviews. Speaking of Dark Horse and Jeff Lemire, we're going to look at Dr. Star and the Kingdom of Lost Tomorrows. This is a dual narrative story set in the world of the Black Hammer series, and it chronicles the legacy of a Golden Age superhero by Jeff Lemire and artist Max Fiumara. And here's the solicit. An aged crime fighter desperately wants to reconnect with his estranged son, who he hoped would one day take the mantle of Dr. Star. Over the course of the story, we learn his World War II era origin, how he got his powers, his exciting astral adventures, and the formation of some of Black Hammer's greatest heroes, and more in this heartbreaking superhero tale about fathers and sons. The art matches the age in which it was set. Like Black Hammer Universe, it has that golden age look and feel to it. It's interesting that today's readers seem to like the very retro look and feel of the comics from the 40s and 50s. The book is well written and good paced. Like Jeff's previous works, the Essex County series, for example, which I reviewed in a past episode, the story is thoughtful and heartwarming. The series is only 4 issues, which I like this concept, only produce enough issues to tell your story. I highly recommend the series, and let me know what you think about Dr. Starr. Next, we get local with the rest of the books that I review, 3 of them, in fact. The first one is Lenny Vernon, written and illustrated by Al Garrison and Ben Crane. The comic is just plain fun. Lenny Vernon is the trucker version of James Bond, in my opinion. He takes out the bad guys and always gets the girl in the end. It's like Shazam, and it doesn't take itself too seriously. For example, you have zombies to hipster vampires, even a Def Leppard covered band that gets possessed and Lenny has to take on. Lenny takes them all on in his own glorious way that only Lenny can, and in the end, he uses his common catchphrase, sweet, sweet love, when he's talking to his girl. The comic even has fake ads in it that we all saw in the comics when we were reading comics as kids. Again, a fun comic to put a smile on your face. Al and Ben created the comic, and both guys are good guys who know how to tell a great story that you will love. I suggest you check this fun comic out. I'll include a link in the show notes so you can pick up your own copy of Lenny Vernon, and be sure to get in touch with Al and Ben and let them know what you think. Next is Transient, written and illustrated by Aaron Carlo. He tells the story of Samuel, who wanders the post-apocalyptic world trying to survive. He gets caught in a cult of pseudo-Christians who are taking advantage of the local people. He has to decide what to do. Does he stay and fight for those who can't defend themselves, or does he leave? The art is in classic black and white, which gives the story its rugged feel to it. The story is seamless, and the panels fit the narrative that Aaron is trying to tell. The world Aaron has built leaves so much room for endless stories about Samuel and his journey to survive and what's left of his world. I look forward to seeing what Aaron does with this one. Last and certainly not least is Stowaway, written by Marcus Stevens and illustrated by Aaron Carlo. Marcus tells the story of the punk rock band Fractured Alice, who is hired to kidnap a princess. This space adventure is fun, and it's something different because it's not your normal space adventure. The story puts a punk band in the seat of trying to prevent a galaxy-wide war. They are the most unlikely group of heroes. This is a 6-issue series, so I'm curious to how the story will play out since I've only read issue 1. So again, I'll include a link in the show notes and check it out. Finally, I just want to do a quick shout out to Carl from the Goat Kicker podcast because he's back. I have to confess, I was a little giddy when I saw a new episode pop up showing that Carl had a new episode. I enjoy listening to Carl talk about nerdy stuff like Gundam, D&D, comics, fiction, and life as a nerdy dad in general. He's the master of being able to talk about anything in extreme detail for long periods of time and still be interesting. This ability astounds me. I highly recommend you check out his show. You can find him on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or pretty much any other podcast app out there. So check it out. It's the Goat Kicker Podcast. So that's all we have today. Please go to covertnerd.net for all the details about this episode and other episodes. Also, we're doing a mini con locally here June 1st, as you heard in the promo at the beginning of the series. So if you're interested, I'll have a link in the show notes for that. So again, until next time, nerd it up.